Just so happens she mentioned as she was a child lying about things. When you can't read and you can't write, you need to fit in and to raise up somehow. And I appreciate her honesty with that. That's so true. You never know who you're talking to, do you? You know, we'd have never known that about Jeanette. Man, the girl's a force. I mean, they have a prayer stand. They do so much. We don't know why Devon helps her so often. I mean, Devon's kind of speaking into her, and they're kind of like together when they talk, and now we know why. I mean, he's just cozied right up to his wife and said, "I'm going to help you through this." And now they do amazing things for Jesus Christ. So we're blessed. And maybe, so are you. Yeah, you are. So that's always good. So let me just begin this way. What time is it? Okay, we're going to have a little bit of a shortened message today. I'll fly through it. We're going to eat dinner here in a little bit. So this is where I'm at. In Philippians, our passage. We've been in the book of Philippians for about 10 years now. And we're just going to keep going. I'll kind of deviate next Sunday. We'll go into Christmas a little more focused, and then we'll come back. Philippians is just an amazing book. Here's kind of the passage. If you're new to us today, here's kind of where we've been, and I've just kind of been teaching us a more mature Christian living ethic here through the book of Philippians, and now I'm kind of reflecting it off of the Christmas story. We're talking about Jesus in chapter 3, verse 20. It says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Yodian, I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be made known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Here's the verse for today. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things." So lately, we've been just kind of reflecting off of that. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we await a Savior. Well, at this time, we're in the season of Advent, and we are looking forward to the Savior coming in a manger, but we're still awaiting a Savior. We are now awaiting a Savior to come back from heaven. We are still in the waiting mode. Interesting thing about the Christmas story is no one was expecting it. Everything was a total surprise, but we know ahead of time he's coming back. So he tells us, we're waiting, stand firm like this. While you wait, stand firm just like this. And then he kind of steps in and corrects Yodi and Syntyche for not waiting quite like they should. And then he tells us all to rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. The Lord is at hand, or the Lord is near. And finally, in verse 8, and this is where we're going today, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable." So if we're waiting a Savior, and we are told to think about, that's what verse 8 says, whatever is true, think about these things. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to think about one thing of this verse. And it stopped me cold. It stopped me cold when I read it. The first thing it says is think about whatever is true. Think about whatever is true. Now, I have to do a little bit of classroom session here for you. It'll make sense. The rest of it will make sense if you get this first part, right? So when you take any word, and I'm going to teach you a lot of things, some Greek here. So when you take any word and you put an A in front of it, A equals not, all right? So if you take any word and you put an A in front of it, it means it negates it. It means not. So in this case, you take the word lanthano, all right? There it is. It means concealed or hidden. So lanthano, I conceal. That's a verb. It means I conceal or I hide something. Then you put that A with lanthano and you get aletheia, which is the noun form of truth. That is the word truth in the Bible. It is not concealed. It is openly true and real. So you've spoken the truth, which means that you have opened up and spoken what is real. There's nothing concealed in what you're saying. It's all there. It's like you can pick it up and you can study it and you can look at it. Take this box and you can kind of go, whoa, what's in that? And you can kind of think about it and kind of look at that, maybe pick the corner a little bit. That's kind of what this means. I've said something that is open and you can hold it in your hand and you can kind of turn it and, well, just what Philippians says, think about these things. And that's what that means, that word think. It means contemplate, compute, mull it over, take some slow, steady time and just look this thing over and think about it. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to mull over. We're going to think about whatever is true, not concealed, real, and open for scrutiny. Well, one thing for sure is the biblical story, the Bible account. We've had this book here for some over 2,000 years. It is open to the public. We've never tried to hide anything of it. It is there for governments, scientists, anyone to read, study, and approve. So it is openly, this is the truth of God. No question about that. So truth means it's open. It's not concealed. Here it is, wide open. So let me give you this one thought to kind of sharpen yourself. If we're going to go into this Christmas season thinking about, mulling over, pondering truth, whatever is true. And if truth means there's nothing concealed, let me make this statement to you. What that means when you and I talk, when you and I speak, a half-truth is a whole lie. A half-truth is a whole lie because you're concealing things. You're not opening it up. So you and I'm going to encourage you and challenge you that when you speak, you're speaking as a believer, you're speaking as a Christian. If you really want to speak truth, speak the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Because a half-truth still conceals half of that information, and a half-truth is a whole lie in God's eyes. I would say it this way, if you want a biblical account, Ananias and Sapphira's half-truth was deadly. I don't know if you know that story. Ananias and Sapphira sold a piece of property, kept some of the money back for themselves, came. Did you know Ananias never said a word? Read the story. He came in, put the money down at the apostles' feet. They didn't ask him anything. He didn't say anything, at least in the biblical account. And Peter says, Ananias, why did this thing come into your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? And he died. There's no account of him saying anything. He just had this thing in his heart. I'm just going to come put the money down at the apostles' feet, and everybody's going to kind of think, wow, look what he did. And there was a little deception there. But that little half-truth was a whole lie to God. Dead. Now his wife came in, Sapphira came in, and they said, Sapphira, did you guys sell a piece of property for this much money? Yep. Half-truth's deadly. Half-truth is a whole lie. For you and I, if you really want to sharpen yourselves here, let's make sure what we say is totally true. It's totally true. Let's be known for people that speak truth, that are about the truth, okay? That's your negative. That's your teaching side. That's your negative side. So breathe easy. The rest of the message is really, really easy. If speaking the truth is not concealing something, if someone asks you a question and you really, man, you're like in your mind going, maybe like Jeanette did when she was a child, and you really don't know how to answer this question, could I just encourage you to say, I'd rather not answer that, rather than tell a half-truth, rather than shade it a little bit, just say, I'd rather not answer that. That'd be truthful. That would be truthful. And if that's the case, if speaking truth means nothing's concealed, then the testimonies we're sharing, we are kind of unveiling our lives to each other. It's kind of we're opening up the truth of our lives to each other, and I think that's a really good thing. She only had like 10, 15 minutes, right? Casey's same, Jackie, others. But we're starting to, by our testimonies, we are starting to open up the truth of our lives to each other. That can only be a good thing. That can only be a good thing. I don't know if you know this, but Apostle Paul shared his testimony. I can think of at least three times in Acts, in Galatians, and in Philippians, we talked about it. He loved to share his testimony as part of his gospel witness. You have a testimony. If you know Jesus Christ, you have a testimony. Begin to think about it. Begin to work on it. Begin to talk to yourself in the shower. Begin to share your testimony, because it can be a powerful thing. It is unveiling, unconcealing who you are. And this is really part of the board's idea here at our church, that we really need to do that. So many churches, we really don't know each other. You have maybe a few people in a small group, and they know each other a little bit, but we want to do something different. We want to do something more real here. We want to intertwine our lives. We want to share who we really are with each other. Man, that is scary for some of you, isn't it? And so that's why we've had testimonies. That's why we've cried through testimonies sometimes, because we want to share the truth of who we really were, what Jesus has done for us, and now who we're becoming. That's a truthful thing that we're doing in sharing our testimonies. It's a powerful thing we're doing. Thirdly, in John chapter 18, I'll begin to focus a little bit more on Jesus here. John chapter 18, I don't know if you've ever really thought about this or not, but as we move toward the Christmas season, Jesus was once asked, who are you and what are you doing here, basically? He was on trial. John chapter 18, Jesus very shortly would be crucified and killed, but he's on trial with a guy named Pilate. John chapter 18, verse 37, then Pilate said to him, so you are a king. And Jesus answered, you say I'm a king. Listen to what he says. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Then listen, this next phrase is mind-blowing. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Pilate said to him, what's truth? What's truth? You know, we're celebrating the birth of Christ. I mean, that's what Christmas is really all about. The birth of Christ. And straight from Jesus' mouth, he said, this is why I was born. I was born to proclaim and to share the truth to you. And everyone who is mine, everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Wow. Something about those that are his, that have that spirit in them, we yearn to hear his truth. We long to hear his voice, to hear his truth, his word. And Pilate said the same thing they're saying today. What's truth? What's truth? Question I would ask is, Jesus, what truth is it that you're bringing to us? You're here to expose the truth. This is the purpose. This is why you were born. This is Christmas came because you needed to bring truth to us. What truth is it that you came to expose, to open up for us? Well, I would say very plainly, man's condition and God's love and justice. Jesus came to very clearly and openly and verbally proclaim man's condition as lost and God's love and justice to save them. Jesus came to share God himself. This is who God is. This is how we come to him. We needed to know that. We needed to know more about God. We need to be able to personalize who God is. Jesus came to share the truth. There's so many gods being proclaimed and looked at and examined and thought about and believed in. And Jesus came to share, this is God. I just want to read a couple of verses to you. You don't have a reference for them. Just quickly read a couple verses. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him. Jesus says, I have a lot to say. I have much to judge. He who sent me, my Father, is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him. He's declaring the truth. It's why he came. It's the reason he was born. Jesus cried out and said, whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me receives not my words. The words that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. So Jesus very clearly said, I've come to proclaim the truth, and that's the truth about our condition, about God's love and justice. It's about God himself, who he is, and how we come to him. Don't try to go to God your way. Please don't. Jesus was born on Christmas Day to proclaim to us the truth we need to know about coming to God and who He is. And Jesus came. He came to proclaim the truth of what God asks of us. This is what God really wants from you. Most of the Bible is that way. The Jews of the Old Testament thought He wanted this, but He didn't. He wanted our hearts. And Jesus was constantly telling them, that's really not what He wants. This is what He wants. So Jesus came to tell us very clearly, this is what God is asking of you. This is what pleases God, and this is what God hates. And He came to tell us how we can rejoice. And yes, we are told clearly in God's Word, rejoice. And again I say, rejoice. Rejoice in God as you wait for a Savior. We, above all people, can rejoice in God. And we should rejoice in God. He has come to tell us the truth. He has come to open, not concealed, but opened. He has come to proclaim the truth. And now we know. Now we know. It's in Jesus Christ. So we have this Christmas story in Matthew chapter 1. And so I will close the message with a tip from this Christmas story about the truth. If we truly want to rejoice, and I think that's fantastic that you and I are told to rejoice. God tells us very clearly in His Word of God, it's okay, go ahead and rejoice. And again, I say rejoice while you wait for the return of your Savior. Rejoice. Have a party. Relax. Go have a Christmas dinner after church. Rejoice. I've come in telling you the truth. Everything you need to know. And I love you, by the way. I love you. And I so want you to come and be with me. I so want you to be part of my family. I so want you to rejoice in me. And here's a tip, because the truth is still, like Pilate said, what is truth? And it scares me to death. You're not going to make me get up there like you did Jeanette, are you? You're not going to make me expose my life, are you? Nope, I'm not. I'm just going to ask you if you want to. Here's a tip. If you really want to approach the truth and kind of pull back on who you are, and just say, Jesus, here I am. Here I am. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When His mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So in this Christmas narrative, truth is an issue, is it not? Truth is an issue here. There's something concealed, and all Joseph can see at this point is my betrothed, this virgin that I'm engaged to, and back then engaged was almost, I mean, it was a done deal. You were married. There were many of what we would call marital rights that were already in play. And all he knows is this sweet little virgin is pregnant. And he's going to divorce her quietly. He's not going to just make her a mockery, possibly even to have her stoned, as John chapter 8, the adulterous woman, just about was. So he's going to put her away quietly. Truth is an issue here. What has been going on with her? And if you were like me, if I was in this narrative, I would say, yeah, right. I can tell you what's been going on. But as he considered these things, an angel of the Lord and said, Joseph, don't fear. Don't fear. Here's the truth. Here's the truth, Joseph. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. She's having a child by the Holy Spirit. She's having the child of God. You'll call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Here's the truth. Don't divorce her. Don't fear this situation. This is a large situation. This is a huge situation. Don't mess with her, quite honestly, if I can be blunt with you. Don't mess with her until after she's had the child. This is God's child. This is not yours. This is a holy child. Don't mess with her. Don't touch her. And so he didn't until after Jesus was born. It's a holy child. I don't want man touching this woman until Jesus is born. This is the truth of God. This is the truth. It's large. It's hard. It's a bit out there. But praise God for Joseph, right? He did as the angel had said. So the moral of the story, the lesson I want to share with you is, let God tell you what's the truth. Don't try and tell God what's the truth. Let God tell us what's true. And let's not try and write the next encyclopedia about God. Here's why I say that, because our lives are messy. Our lives are just as complicated as their life was, maybe more. And I hope you've got that from some of these testimonies we've been sharing. Our lives are complicated lives. Let God tell you what's the truth about your complication. Let God tell you what's the truth, whether you really are stupid or not. Let God tell you the truth, whether there's no hope for you or whether there is hope for you. Let God tell you that. Don't try and figure it out yourself. Don't listen to what people are calling you. Don't listen to what people are telling you. Let God tell you what's true. He's very good at it. He wrote an amazingly huge book. And he can send angels if he wants to, right? Because you and I get into our lives and we get in so close, and we can even tell ourselves some lies sometimes. Let God tell you what's true. Because this much I know. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. But whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. The door is always, always open. And that's the truth. That's the truth. So no matter how large and hard and complicated your life is, no matter how ashamed you may be of some things, God's door is open. God's love is there. And he will send angels and back semi-trucks of grace up to your door and welcome you into his family. Let him tell you what's really true. And you'll see the glory of Christmas every day. Every day. It's why he came. It's why he came. Rejoice. Rejoice. You have the truth. You have the truth. Big responsibility for us, isn't it? We're the bearers of truth. We are the bastions of truth. We are the ones who have been chosen to carry truth into this generation and coming generations. But don't they need it? As they continue to say, what is truth? You have it. You have it. And if you don't, God has it for you. And that is, I love you through my Son, Jesus Christ. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the family. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much. You've been good to us. And Lord, we want to truly, truly rejoice in you. Our family is so loving, it's so brave to open our lives up. Lord, give us courage in the days ahead. Give us faith. Whatever we bring to this microphone, you love us. You forgive us. Lord, you're amazing. Thank you for coming to earth, bearing the truth, dying for our sins, and rising on the third day to welcome us into your family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Mark, could you take us back to We Have a Savior? I feel we need to end the service with We Have a Savior. We'll sing up to the bridge and then end it, okay? Everybody could stand and worship with us.